For our study today, I want us to return to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And we're going to examine the seventh occasion in the life of the children of Israel in their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. The seventh time when we encounter their sin of unbelief and of disobedience towards God. We find it recorded in Numbers chapter 11, verse number 4. Now, actually, the rest of the chapter from verse 4 on to the end of the chapter describes a number of events that we will not have time to examine today in our study. We're only going to look at a few things from this chapter. So I'll just read verse number 4 and get us introduced into the situation, and then we'll examine some other verses as we go along. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 4 says this, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat?" Let's stop right there and we'll begin with that passage. We see another occasion in the experience of the children of Israel when they sinned against God. And as we examine it and study it today, I pray that the Spirit of God will open your eyes to see the truth of His Word that is recorded for us here and given to us by example from the children of Israel, that He might admonish you, that He might teach you, that He might correct you, that He might conform you to the truth, that you might experience a spiritual regeneration, a spiritual revival, a new revolution, if you will, in your life spiritually that will change you from this day for the rest of your life. Now notice it says in verse number 4, as we started out, it says, the mixed multitude. Well now, what was the mixed multitude? Well, if we go back in the book of Exodus, to Exodus chapter 12, we find there that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, it says that there was a mixed multitude that joined them. That mixed multitude included some Egyptians. There were some people from the land of Egypt who saw God's hand, observed it, and they wanted to follow Him. They left Egypt along with the children of Israel. And there were other people of other nationalities. We don't know all of the people that were part of that mixed multitude, but they were not people who were children of Israel. They were of other nations who observed God's power and His might that He displayed in His 10 revelations of His power in Egypt. They wanted to follow Him. So when the children of Israel left, they went with them. That's the mixed multitude. Now we notice in verse number 4 here that is this mixed multitude that fell a-lusting. Now the scriptures talk a great deal about various kinds of lust. We aren't going to get into all of those varieties of the sin of lust today. As it is in the setting here, it is simply talking about a strong desire for food. That's what it's talking about. The specific word given here that says they fell a-lusting, it simply is describing this condition in this mixed multitude that said, we are sick and tired of manna. We want something more. We're not satisfied with this bread-like food that we eat every day and have to go out and collect. We want real food. And it says they fell a-lusting. They had a strong desire for something other than what God was providing for them. A dissatisfaction, a discontent with the conditions that God had given to them. Now we notice as we move on from there that the children of Israel then began to weep. It says that they wept again. Now, we won't take the time today to go back and rehearse all of the times that the children of Israel have wept against God. These are not tears of sorrow. These are not tears of sadness. These are tears of complaint, tears of lament against God for his dealings with them in ways that they did not like, in ways in which they were dissatisfied and unhappy. So we find recorded starting in verse number 4. We also find it in verse number 10, I believe it is, and a couple more times in this chapter. They're described as weeping and complaining against God for their food. They wanted something more than the manna that they got every day. They were dissatisfied with what is described in the Bible as angel food. The Bible tells us this is the kind of food that angels eat. They were dissatisfied with it. They wanted something more. In fact, their cry and complaint was, "We want meat. We don't want just this bread that you've given us. We want meat." In fact, we remember what it was like back in Egypt when we had all kinds of fresh produce and all of the meat we could eat. That's what we want. Now, what the children of Israel, of course, were forgetting to mention was the fact that while they were there enjoying their food, so to speak, they were the worst of servants. They were beaten and cruelly treated. And yet they had forgotten all of that and only thought about satisfying their own appetites. And the sad part of this particular sin and this occasion was that it was a time when the children of Israel did not stand up against the sins of the world around them. For you notice that the temptation came this time not from within the children of Israel, but rather it came from the mixed multitude. There was a failure on this occasion on the part of the children of Israel to resist the temptations of the world around them. In addition to that, it describes for us what the mixed multitude thought about God. For they now were falling into the same pattern of sin against God that the children of Israel showed them. And so here is the world following the pattern of the children of Israel in their complaining against God. Oh, sorry is the day. Sorry is the day when the world follows the church in its complaining attitude against God. I fear that that's true of our day, my friend. I fear that the world about us does not have the proper respect and viewpoint towards God. And where did they get it? They got it from those of us who name God as ours. They got it from those of us who claim the name of Christ, and yet who in claiming Him resist His direction, resist His revelation of Himself to us, and instead show ourselves obstinate against God. Here's the mixed multitude copying the attitude of the children of Israel, lusting against God, desiring more than what they have. And then we find that the circle has changed. That here we have the children of Israel now following the world. Instead of resisting it, they fell in with their sin. And they said, "Yeah, God, while you're at it, remember back what it was like in Egypt. We want food like that. Why can't we have meat like we had back in Egypt?" So we find that the children of Israel conformed their beliefs, conformed their attitudes to those that were being displayed by the world about them, the mixed multitude. At this point, I want to remind you of that classic verse in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in which the Apostle Paul, writing to his friends at Rome, cautioned them against this very sin. When he said, "Don't let the world around you conform you into its mold." Or as some have stated in more modern language, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and complete will of God." Well, we find the children of Israel here on this occasion, they fell right in with the world. they said, yeah, we want that too. So that while the mixed multitude went a-lusting after food and satisfying their fleshly appetites, the children of Israel jumped right on the bandwagon and said, yeah, God, we want it too. Conforming with the patterns of the sinful world around them. Let's stop a moment and call your attention to that in your life. Does that describe you? Does that describe the way you view life, that you let the world squeeze you into its mold instead of resisting their temptations and standing against them as God calls us to stand? Well, we find the children of Israel just melted right in with them. So we find here, first of all, that the mixed multitude went a-lusting after foods. And then we find that the children of Israel wept or complained as well. We find yet another sin described for us in this verse number 4. And we see it in their question. Their question, they say, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, on the face of it, that just sounds like a very simple question, doesn't it? But yet, the Scriptures reveal to us that it's far from a simple question. For it reveals the true attitude and condition of the heart of the children of Israel. For the Scriptures tell us that when they asked, who shall give us food? There are several heart attitudes that they described in that question. And we find, if we turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 78, they're described for us what those sins were that were revealed in that seemingly simple question, who shall give us food? Psalm 78, verse number 18, it says this, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Here's what they said. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? That was the question. That was what was embodied in their simple little statement, who shall give us flesh? What they were really saying down in their heart was they were tempting the Almighty God Himself. And they were saying, yes, God, you brought water out of a rock, but can you give us meat? We don't think so. Do you see the depth of their rejection of the Almighty God who had revealed Himself in so many ways? The attitude of the heart was one of tempting against God, resisting Him. We read on just a little bit further in Psalm 78, and it gives us a little bit more description as to this attitude of their heart. Not only did they tempt against God and speak against Him, but we read down verse 21, we read, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came against Israel. Now here's the summary. Because they believed not in God, and trusted not in His salvation. The word there that is translated believed not, it talks about, on the positive side, if you were to say someone believed, it would describe a firm, staunch, strong belief and confidence in someone. So when we take the negative side, as the passage of Scripture gives us, it says they did not believe like that. They did not have a firm, strong, staunch faith in God. They believed Him not. And then it says, neither did they trust Him. What that's talking about, to put it in a very simple explanation, it says they didn't go to Him for a refuge. When the time of difficulty and stress and problem arose, it says they did not go to God for refuge. Instead, they turned and said, who will provide it for us? As for this God who brought us out of Egypt, we don't trust him. Who then will give us food? Do you see what is wrapped up in that simple little question? Who shall give us flesh? It wasn't just asking a simple question, but rather it was revealing to us the true condition of the heart of these children of Israel. It was a heart of tempting God. It was a heart that was challenging his authority, challenging his very reality and his power. It was an attitude of unbelief. They didn't have a firm, staunch trust in him. And when times got difficult and trials arose, they did not go to him for refuge. Oh, what a sad description is wrapped up in that simple little question. Who shall give us food? What they were saying in reality in their heart is, we want food. We don't trust that this God who brought us out of Egypt can or will give it to us. Therefore, we say, who will give it to us? And they rejected him, and they turned against him. We find as we read further on in Numbers chapter 11, in fact, we come to verse number 20, where God is talking to Moses, and he's talking about this condition and attitude of the heart of the children of Israel, and he further summarizes it in this fashion. He says, I'll give them food. I'll prove to them that my hand is not short. I'll prove to them my power, but it's going to come with a judgment. And here's what he says. A whole month I'm going to give them food. I'm going to give them so much food that it's actually going to come out their noses. They're going to gag on it. They're going to have so much meat, they're going to get sick of it. Why? Here's what it says. Because you despised the Lord who was among you. That word despise is a very strong word that describes a whole set of feelings and attitudes. And in essence, it is simply saying, we reject this God. We don't just set him aside as being a God that we don't believe in. But we have an aversion to him. We want nothing to do with him. They despised him. After all, he didn't give them what they wanted. So they set him aside and they despised him in their hearts. That's the setting that we find described for us in Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 4 through the chapter. They cried. They complained, they tempted God, they spoke against him, they doubted him, they didn't go to him for relief when they faced their trial and difficulty, they despised him, they had an aversion to him, this one who had showed himself so gracious, so merciful, so patient. God judged them for their sin and for their rejection. He gave them food. He proved to them that he could, in fact, provide meat and bread and all that they wanted. Oh, but it came with a horrible price. For as we read through the rest of the chapter 11, we find that there were thousands of them that died. They were so greedy for that food, it consumed them. God sent a plague among them and killed them for their sin and for their rejection of him. Very serious words indeed, my friend. For I fear that the Church of Jesus Christ today, in many respects, is just like these children of Israel. We are dissatisfied, disgruntled. We want something other than what God has given us. And we're telling God what we want. And because he hasn't given it to us, we have turned to other gods that we believe will provide them for us. And as a consequence, we suffer severely because of it. For my friend, God always punishes sin. Always. He always punishes our sin. Well, what does the Spirit of God want these truths from our study today to accomplish in your life? First of all, He wants you to know the truth. He's described for us here in very clear terms sin and how we behave towards God and what it means. It is a temptation against Him. It is to complain against Him. It is to doubt His word. It is on occasion to actually despise Him. And He wants us to know the truth about sin that we might avoid falling into the same trap that these children of Israel did. And that by knowing the truth, you might conform your life to the truth. Where today has the Spirit of God opened your eyes to see in your life where you are just like the children of Israel described for us here in our study today? Where you have lusted after things to satisfy your own fleshly human desires. And you've become dissatisfied and disgruntled with God. Where you have spoken against Him. Where you have doubted His power and doubted His love and compassion for you. Where you have failed to go to Him in time of trial and of test and of difficulty. And instead turned your back against Him and begun to seek answers from other gods. Where in your life has the Spirit of God opened your eyes to see your sin as like unto theirs? What is that condition today? Has He found you guilty or innocent? Has He approved or disapproved? You see, sin has its consequences. Whether it comes from doubt, whether it comes from disobedience, whether it comes from simply seeking after our own fleshly desires, matters not the cause, my friend. Sin has its consequences. It grieves the Spirit of God. It quenches Him. It prevents Him from working in our lives as believers and as Christians so that we have leanness instead of the great joy and abundance that is our right and privilege as His child. There are consequences to sin. God withdraws His close, intimate fellowship from us, and we suffer because of it. The Spirit of God today wants to take these truths and He wants to correct you. He wants to change you. He wants to bring about in your life a change because of the application of the truth of God's Word. The Scriptures give us here an example that we are to avoid. Practices that we should not practice. It also gives to us an example on the opposite side of how we are to live. Lives full of joy and thankfulness for what God Himself has done for us. A life of trust, a life of faith and obedience. Seeking after God and what He has for us. Being thankful and rejoicing in His provision for us. I pray that the Spirit of God will apply these truths in your life today, that He'll bring about a change in your experience, that you might walk in conformity to the truth of God's Word.